I saw this documentary a couple of days ago, and intriguing for a couple of reasons. One, it's local. Two, it's about an artist right around my age. So Will actually kind of put me on it, and I did some research on it, and I remember the case. I remember the situation, and it's Mike Diana, a guy that's that came up in Largo and
originally from New York, I think, right?
Originally. So let's talk to Mike. He's on the phone now on our hotline and talk about the documentary and the whole story. Mike Diana, how are you, buddy?
Hey, doing good.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, man. So are you back up in New York still, or did you come back down?
Well, I'm still in New York, yeah. I had actually escaped Florida in 96. It's when my case was on appeal to the Second District Court of Appeals, and I felt like I wasn't going to even wait for the verdict. I just wanted to get out of there and come back to New York, you know. I went to New York City. Yeah, but I had snuck in and out a few times, you know.
That had to feel kind of fun, you know, like you're doing something dangerous, you know, running around Largo, you know.
Well,
looking out for the police.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I was very paranoid, and then I went back through Largo, and I realized that the police at that point were giving me a second look, you know, like.
Yeah, because
back,
I mean,
in the day, I mean, they would have.
Yeah, I mean, you had a real identifiable look. You know, you look like a handsome young man, probably fronting a heavy metal band. You know, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Course, we all had hair back then, and now my head looks like yours does now. But we're talking to Mike Diana. This case made national headlines. Mike Diana is an artist. The art that he does and has done. Not your everyday run-of-the-mill comic book type of art. This is stuff that is, to say controversial is an understatement, but it's art nonetheless. And you know, it has a lot of what people would say grotesque and gory images involving satanic stuff and kids and all this other stuff. And it's like, for most people, they look at it and they're disturbed by it, and They don't look at the fact that, you know, we live in a country where art, you have the freedom to express yourself. And that's what really drew all the attention to this case, was you are an artist that was going to jail for drawing pictures.
Yeah, definitely. Because it was funny that the time I spent in Florida seeing the newspapers and watching the TV news, you know, it was like a horror story every night with the bloody stories. And also treated kind of like entertainment, and that was inspiration.
Right.
I think being there in Florida is what pushed my art to the extreme. It did, and like the fear people had of serial killers.
Right.
I was trying to capture that kind of anxiety in my artwork, and really people, you know, thought I was the one that was like could be a killer or something like that.
Yeah, because they wanted to associate your art with what real crazy people do in real situations.
Yeah.
And we're talking to Mike Diana, and the documentary I referred to earlier, it's called Boiled Angels, and you can get it on Amazon right now. It's free to watch on Amazon. I watched it the other day. It's a great documentary. It's a good watch, and it's a good long watch too. It's an hour and 40 something minutes long. They even tied you into a murder investigation in Gainesville, right?
Well, yeah, that's how they, I heard they discovered me, or that's the first contact I had, because I had done Boiled Angel number 6, and on the cover, you know, I had a image of a guy, drawing I did of a guy cutting a fetus out of a girl.
Right.
And two detectives showed up to my mother's house where I was staying, and they pulled out of a briefcase Boiled Angel number 6, and I had only sent out a handful at that point. And they said, well, because of this, you're a suspect in the Gainesville student murders, and you have to give a blood sample in order to clear your name.
Wow.
And my mother insisted I give the blood sample, so I did. And it was one of those detectives that approached me then that kept tabs on me since then. And he ordered the Boiled Angels number 7 and number 8, you know, the two preceding issues.
Right. So
under a fake name.
Yeah. So Boiled Angels is basically an underground comic book. You had a small cult group of subscribers, mm-hmm. that you would mail these out to. I mean, just a couple hundred copies of each one. And it's basically just a collection. Yeah. It's a collection of just really gross, kind of edgy cartoons. Yeah. And it kind of plays off of like the heavy metal magazine from the 80s that would have all these images that you wouldn't normally see in a comic book that you go into a comic book store and buy. So you had a, you know, like anything, you know, like even like genres of music, you know, like death metal and stuff that people would find, you know, a little too heavy for mainstream. They get a cult following, and some people are going to see it as obscene, and some people are going to, you know, demonize you for art to think that if this guy can draw this, then he could do this. Is that what they were trying to say?
Well, definitely. You know that. I mean, it seemed like the prosecutor was even like taking credit that he stopped me from doing something, you know. I mean, and I just thought, well, what's stopping me now? You know, if I was going to do that, I mean, it's like, you know, the whole idea of artwork, you know, being like, is it going to influence people or is it really portrayed how they are, you know? And that's what they couldn't really understand, you know.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was blaming Stan Lee, you know. Watch out for Stan Lee. He's going to get himself bitten by a spider and try to climb a building. Now, when this happened and you went to court and you were lawyered up and everything else, did you think that there was a chance that you could get in trouble? I mean, did you just look at it like, this is dumb, it's going to be easy?
Well, you know, my father used to kind of look over my shoulder and look at my drawings sometimes, and he would tell me, you know, you're going to get in trouble for pornography someday. And I thought, that's impossible. So really my father called me out on it ahead of time. And when it happened, you know, I was on my way to court for the first time to plead guilty or not guilty. I had never heard of the charges or anything. And the paper came out that morning, said I was facing 3 years in jail. So that's when I started to worry, you know.
Yeah, you're
and
dead.
And then the prosecutor was really pushing for me to, like, do a plea deal or whatever.
Right.
And I said, well, I want to wait to get a lawyer. They don't make it pleasant on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
the legal system.
Yeah, it is. It is true. And watching documentary, I was blown away the whole time. You know, that you had religious groups protesting at the courthouse that really knew nothing about the case. They just kind of like heard it through the news like everybody else and immediately thought this guy is the devil. What I love in the documentary, too, is, you know, you're walking around with like the hottest girl in town on your side, which is a good look, you know, and it's like you ended up on national talk shows and things like that. And it was crazy. I think a lot more people were on your side than they thought was going to happen. Like a lot of people, when it came down to the nuts and the bolts of it,
definitely.
It's the First Amendment. And, you know, we live in a country that we have freedoms, you know. Now, they told you weren't allowed. Part of your probation was you weren't allowed to draw anymore, which is crazy to me. I'm a person. I have a degree in art, and I can't imagine if somebody told me that I couldn't draw anymore.
That was very troubling when I was in the, you know, at the sentencing, and they were reading off the conditions, and you know the judge said, well, you aren't allowed to draw anything for your own private use or anything for the 3 year. Probation.
It's crazy.
And the police are allowed to make warrantless searches for artwork, you know. I was even limited to like the art supplies I have, and you know,
that is nuts.
I mean, I was just like, wow,
that sounds like the Soviet Union. It doesn't sound like the United States, where, like, you know, they see you at Walgreens buying a ballpoint pen, and they're like, what are you gonna do with that, Diana? That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how much jail time did you actually do jail time, like in a prison?
Well, what happened was I had been going to trial all week, you know, and then on a Thursday was the last day of the trial, and the jury was deliberating. It only took the jury like an hour and a half to deliberate the guilty verdict on all three counts, and they took me right from the courthouse to the jail across the street. The judge ordered me to be put in jail over the weekend until sentencing, and he didn't have to put me in jail, but,
right.
you know, you plead not guilty, you fight them, and they got to give you a punishment, you know. So I went to the general lockup with, the, like, the light on for 24 hours in the cell with no blankets, and, you know, it's not good, really. That, I mean, I had been... Really, what makes you most angry is just the feeling like, you know, you're not supposed to be here. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Like I drew some pictures, you know.
And then to be told you can't draw, which is like, you know, that's your real form of expression and how you, you know.
Yeah.
Passion.
Yeah. It's what you were kind of born to do. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think people understand that artists, it's kind of embedded.
Yeah.
It's in our fabric. It's like it's hard to be taught to draw. Like you can either do it or you can't do it, you know. So.
Just ever since I was a child, you know, wanting to do my artwork and felt natural almost, you know?
Yeah. The story, I love how, you know, on the documentary, Boiled Angels, on Amazon, I love how it, you know, really tells the whole story of how you started to get into art and how even at a young age, you were drawing pictures that you didn't think were obscene, that were just different than what other people were drawing. And it kind of like, people are like, well, there's something going on here. Well, let's keep an eye on this kid. But everybody you talk to, you know, they said he's a good kid. He's just a little different, you know, like, you know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of felt like at an early age, I was making a statement with my art because there was one time I remember must have been in first grade, and we had took a trip to Seneca Lake to collect items off the beach to make a sculpture with, and I even picked up a dead fish and broken glass and like pieces of litter because I felt like I was unhappy about the beach being in bad condition, you know.
Yeah.
And people were like, wow, that's weird. And then it became time for open house for everyone to display their collages. And I think mine had to be gotten rid of because it had, you know, the dead fish smell.
Oh, yeah. They're going to say something about that. Yeah. You know what, man? People just don't understand art. Sometimes it's, you know, it's more than visual. Now, are you back to drawing now? Are you doing more artwork?
Yeah. I actually, when I was on probation, you know, I wasn't drawing, but I started painting instead. So I used to keep this stuff hidden in the trunk of my car. So I actually never really stopped, you know.
Got you.
I was always doing some kind of art stuff. But now, yeah, I've been drawing a lot and doing comics, you know. And I'd like to do a whole biography comic, you know, maybe graphic novel about the whole case and everything.
Do you ever get nervous when you're painting or drawing now because you think like, oh, man, I'm under scrutiny. Maybe somebody's going to come after me again?
Maybe for a second, just because there has been like controversial stuff with the art world, you know, like when Giuliani was going after the museum here, which people thought New York City, that's never going to happen. So,
yeah,
in your mind, maybe there's always something that's kind of like, is someone going to disagree with this and how dangerous could it get, you know, because kind of living in new times in a way.
Who
knows?
I can imagine you're like talking on the phone, you're like doodling and not paying attention. You look down, it's like, Satan with a penis. I better stop right here.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm also a comedian. I can't help myself. I apologize. Now, what was your impression after watching the documentary, after it was filmed, what was your impression on the prosecutor, like the interviews, like what they were saying, like, do you think that they were portrayed correctly? Like they were just doing their job and they kind of came off like, you know, hey, you know, we're just doing what we're supposed to do. And this is what happened.
Yeah. They really believe that they were doing the right thing in their jobs. I mean, you know, Frank kept telling me that he says, you know, I don't have to do anything to try and make these guys look bad. Cause they just, you know, being themselves, they look bad. So
right, I gotcha. Now I'm looking at I'm looking at your Instagram page, and you know, you got some drawings on there and stuff, and some pretty normal stuff on here. Do you want me to promote your Instagram so people can go check you out?
Yeah.
Boiled Mike Diana.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Is there anything else while we got you on the phone that you'd like to plug? Any projects coming up or maybe a website, anything like that?
We got the website, which is Mike Diana Comics, comics spelled C-O-M-I-X.
Oh, yeah.
And we started reprinting the Boiled Angel set, you know, so you can get the whole set of all the Boiled Angels and see what the whole thing was all about.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then we got the videos, the video projects I did, you know, and also what was weird at the time, the undercover officer had bought 7 and 8 through the mail
under
a fake name, and he also bought the video projects. So I imagine at the state attorney's office, they all had like a screening room.
Oh,
and they
man.
All sat there and watched the Blood Brothers
movie. Yeah, because you made all these home movies, and that's in the documentary, too, and I found that to be really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you were working at what looks like Winn-Dixie, but you were working at a grocery store, and you saved up money, bought a camcorder, and we all know in the 80s what kind of technology that was. But you started making home movies, but the home movies were like slasher films and just like really, and you were using like your brother and your sister and like neighborhood kids, like it's a 5-year-old girl. Yeah. You pinched her brain out. It's hilarious. Yeah. I laughed so hard at that part of the documentary because I know a lot of kids
do that. Yeah,
it was
fun making them. I mean,
you look like you were having a blast, and not one time did I go, that's a lunatic. I just thought, you know what? These are kids that like horror movies that are just trying to emulate what they watch. And, you know, like we all love that stuff back then. We all loved the Friday the 13th and all that. So, yeah, I really like that part.
Yeah, definitely.
I strongly recommend Boiled Angels on Amazon, guys. Go watch this and see the story of Mike Diana because I hate that you went through it. But I'm glad that you didn't end up going to jail for longer than a couple of days, and I hope that it does. It really opened the eyes of a lot of people on what our real rights are when it comes to art. And I hope that more people don't go through what you went through. And I look forward to seeing what your projects are in the future. And I'll be keeping tabs on you, not like the cops did, but like an artist does.
Awesome.
I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate your time, man. Really, really means a lot, man.
Yeah, definitely. I was happy to be here. Thank you.
All right, Mike. Well, appreciate it, man. Next time, you know, you're drawing something and you want to draw like a fat, bald radio guy getting his head ripped off, I'm totally down for it.
All right, man. I'll do it.
All right, Mike. Have a great night, pal.
All right. You too.
Later, man. Mike Diana. There you go. He sounds exactly like he did on the documentary. Yeah. He's so laid back, man.
Like, I know. He's like the most chill guy ever.
The way he sounds is how I want to sound when I do drugs, right? Yeah. That's how I want to feel. Nice. I never do. Like,
you're always just paranoid.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't breathe. Is this sativa? I don't know. I'm freaking out.
It was really cool, too, in that documentary, just like seeing old news clips.
Yeah.
Because like, they were all like local.
Young ass Kelly Ring.
Yeah. Old Creative Loafing articles.
Yeah.
You know, Kelly Ring.
St. Pete Times.
There's so many like people that you forgot about that you watched.
Who
you
was
know?
The
and
reporter?
Like, oh, yeah, there's that person.
Ethan Bacon. Remember him?
Yeah. He was on WTOG. Yeah. Back in the day.
Hilarious, man. Yeah, so
it's kind of neat. Just if you're from the area, even if you're not into art or whatever, just seeing these old clips and, you know, shots from around town.
It
was cool.
When you watch a documentary, you see the artwork he did. You're going to be appalled by it.
It's shocking. But
oh, yeah.
It's sort of the point, I
right.
think, to a certain extent.
And he even said that. He said he drew this stuff to shock people because that was the goal for a young person, you know, There was kind of a renaissance, you know, in the 80s of like hard rock and heavy metal and like
punk
stuff and like really trying to push the envelope and like shock people. That was like the thing to do.
To be a provocateur.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's how cool people say it.
I hated too those attorneys now saying, "Yeah, I believe we did the right thing. We were just doing our job."
Okay.
And you go, yeah, okay, well, that's what the Nazis said. That's the Nuremberg defense, and that didn't hold up.
They believed they prevented a serial killer. They thought that he was prefacing real murder.
And it was such a small amount of zines that he was distributing.
I mean,
I think at most it was
300?
300, he printed, and I don't even know if he sent all those out even across the country. It was such small potatoes that they went after. It was bizarre. Same thing with that woman from the Women's League. Or
oh,
whatever
I know.
She was.
Yeah, she had the Molly Ringwald hair.
She's in his face. Now, this is the definition of a Karen, too.
Oh, my God,
and
yeah.
She's in his face asking him if he was molested, and he goes, no, but it's none of your business yeah. if I was. And she took that as, oh, that means yes,
yes
he was.
That's what she said.
What an ass.
He said it's none of his business, so he was.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want you to know that I forgive you. Like, first of all, I don't need your forgiveness.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Swerve, ho.
Thanks, Karen.
Bounce, trick. All right. Once again, thanks to Mike Diana. Check out the documentary Boiled Angels. Just don't have your kids in the room because, you know, woo boy. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Some of our listeners probably see the pictures in that thing and go, well, I don't see anything crazy about
it. Yeah, this day and age, nothing shocking.
I draw stuff like that all the time. It's fine.